Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today is Osmer host Evan Sutter. I'm joined by our weekly guest on the show, Jake Arthur of Colts.com. How are you doing today, Jake?
Hey, I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Thanks again for coming on. Appreciate the time as always, Jake. And we're going to do what we did our last time here on the show here. We were going through the Chargers game last time, and this time we're going to be talking in depth about the Falcons game. And for the Colts fans who are wondering about the Falcons and what you've seen on tape so far, Jake, just how tough a matchup is this going to be for the Colts on Sunday?
Well, I think, honestly, the main things they have to worry of, the Colts will have to worry about, is what I think is on everyone's mind. You know, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, you really got to stop that combination. But otherwise, you know, defensively, Colts fans might recognize, you know, the Atlanta's defense quite a bit because stylistically they're pretty similar. 4-3, kind of some Tampa 2 principles and things like that. They can have a safety roaming up top. So I think they'll be pretty familiar in how things look. But no, I think you got a point right at Julio Jones. I think his connection with Matt Ryan is what makes Atlanta so dangerous.
Let me ask you this before we really dive into our in-depth talk with the Colts and Falcons, and just your personal opinion here, Jake. Where do you rank Julio Jones amongst the NFL's top receivers? Is he top one, top two, top three?
I've regarded him as basically 1A or 1B for a long time, and I don't really see any reason to knock him off the mantle. I think in my opinion, you probably look at him and DeAndre Hopkins right at that top tier. And for my money, I don't know that Odell Beckham isn't right there with them. But it'd be hard for me to say that Jones is any worse than one or two.
Yeah, I certainly agree with you there. I think Julio Jones is by far one of the best receivers in the NFL. And it's going to be a tough task for the secondary on Sunday, especially. We're going to dive into that here in a few minutes. But let's start off here with the quarterbacks here, Jake. And what's been your impression of Jacoby Brissett through the first 2 weeks, and how are we going against this Atlanta defense here on Sunday?
I think so far there probably hasn't been as many deep shots. And Coach Wright kind of addressed that, saying, you know, they kind of entered last week wanting to do more of that, but the game plan just didn't evolve that way. Because you were there in training camp, there was a lot of deep shots. It seemed like there was a big play to T.Y. Hilton every single game. So I think as the season progresses and Jacoby is more enveloped in the offense, that we'll probably see a little more diversity from the offense. But so far, I think he's probably done exactly what they've asked him to. I think he's been really efficient. I think he's made overall pretty good decisions as to who he's throwing the ball to. Probably could get the ball out a little quicker. And we saw that with Andrew Luck as well. Kind of a changeover from his old ways of kind of playing hero ball and holding on to it till the last second until he was sure that huge play wasn't there. I think Jacoby has a little of that never say die in him where he wants to make that big play because he knows he can. But I think we'll see Jacoby progress in the offense this year like we did with Andrew. And by year's end, I'm sure we'll see a very comfortable player moving pretty rhythmically through the offense.
That's the one thing I've talked about on the show here for the past few days, and also something I've noticed just observing the past two games, is that it seems like Frank Reich is doing this not by a fault, so to say, but I think he's just easing Jacoby Brissett into it and not really putting too much pressure on him as far as the offense goes right now.
Yeah, and something I've been kind of looking at is, of course, you want a later bye week, but, you know, the Colts have, I think it's week 6 is their bye week, and that could be a good thing. It'll have their five games under their belt, and they throw some new wrinkles in there, kind of treating, you know, when they return as the second half of the season. And they can really sit down and evaluate what Jacoby and the offense has done well and see if they want to incorporate more, maybe give him more freedom at the line at that time. Because we don't really know the level of freedom he has right now to check in and out of certain things or just how much of the playbook they're using at the moment. I mean, we are only two games in, so there's quite a bit left to go. But at the same time, the run has been pretty heavy so far. So that could be by design. That could be just them trying to establish it throughout the season. I do think they want that to be a very heavy theme of the offense. But I would imagine as the season develops, we're probably going to see a slightly higher volume of passing. You know, we'll probably see some 35, 40 attempt games here and there. But I do think it's probably going to be a little more run heavy as we continue through.
Yeah, I certainly say so. 45 carries so far from Marlon Mack through two games leads the NFL. Flipping to the other side of things, as far as the Atlanta quarterback goes, Matt Ryan, who I think is a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's consistently been just a above average quarterback. What's been your opinion of Matt Ryan, Jake, and what does this Colts defense have in store with a guy like Matt Ryan? And once he gets hot, he's kind of hard to stop there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he's a really streaky player. When he's hot, he stays hot for a while. We saw it that year they went to the Super Bowl and he was playing at an MVP level. But also if you kind of knock him off a little bit, he can stay in making those mistakes. I do think he's kind of – I don't know if it's gunslinger mentality or if he just is daring. Those kind of go hand in hand. But he is prone to turning the ball over a little bit too. So he's kind of got a little bit of that never say die in him as well, where he will make some mistakes that result in turnovers, and he will take sacks as well. They've already been sacked like, I don't know, I think five times or something like that. So he is very good. Like you said, I think he probably is in that top 10 area. I think he is a quarterback that most teams would love to have. But I do think from a Colts perspective, I do think they could pry rattle his cage a little bit.
How would you go about that if you're the Colts defense? Are you expecting – I know obviously Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, who we'll get to as well in a couple minutes here. If you're the Colts defense and how much success they've had so far, they have eight sacks in two games, and Justin Houston, DeNico Autry really done well as far as just rushing four. Do you think that's just probably the trend they're going to do again on Sunday, just try to rush four and get to them?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably coach speak, but I just think they've got to worry about themselves and control what they do well. Because, you know, you can only hope to stop a Julio Jones. Even Calvin Ridley is very, very good. Just guard those guys and worry about what you do well already. So for the Colts, that means causing chaos with that front four. I think we know DeNico Autry is going to show up to play and wreak havoc from an interior pass rush stance, which quarterbacks hate, as we know. Kamoko Touré trending upward, it looks like, according to the injury report, so hopefully he's there. Ben Banigou looked good in week one. Just worry about getting after him with your defensive line, you know, because that's a really talented receiving core, and you can include the tight ends in that as well with Austin Hooper and Luke Stocker. So, you know, just maybe take advantage of your advantages defensive line versus offensive line, because they've also got some young guys out there too. Well, really just Caleb McGarry at this point. Chris Lindstrom, unfortunately, was knocked down, put on IR. But, you know, they have a rookie right tackle right now. Maybe take advantage of that.
Yeah, and McGarry is probably a little gimpy this week. I think he got hurt against Philadelphia here, so he might be a little disadvantaged there as far as the right side goes. As you mentioned, Chris Lindstrom is going to be out. As far as the running backs go, Jake, Marlon Mack, who's questionable for Sunday with the calf injury, I think he'll probably be good to go here. But what have you seen through the first 2 weeks of Marlon Mack? Because it seems like we're seeing the leap happen right now at Marlon Mack.
Oh, well, first off, fingers crossed that this quad thing will – is it calf or quad? Yeah, calf. That this calf thing allows him to play, because he hasn't, unfortunately, practiced yet this week. But, you know, saying he – plays, guessing that, then, you know, we've seen an outstanding player, and I think he just continues to develop. You know, rookie year, he looked kind of how you expected, because coming out of USF, they were really gimmicky offense, like really far from an NFL offense. So he kind of looked that way. Second year, we saw more of an NFL running back. He could run between the tackles a little more, things like that. And now this year, I think he is making it more challenging to tackle him. You know, we've heard that He didn't want shoestring tackles and things like that to bring him down as easily because he didn't have great contact balance up until this year. And I think that's one thing that we've seen an improvement in from him. I think it, you know, allowed him to hit that 63-yard touchdown. I just think we're seeing a continually developing player, and quietly he's become one of the most productive, better running backs in the league. Because you've got a couple guys around the league that are falling off a little bit, or maybe they've got some injury issues. And, you know, why can't Mac ascend himself into one of those higher groups of running backs around the league?
Yeah, and I think another player we should hit on, too, as far as the Colts running backs go, Nyheim Hines is obviously a player who's going to be a focal point in the offense. When he's out there, he's going to be a player the defense has to watch. But Jordan Wilkins, I saw a good stat from Kevin Bowen today that said, amongst players who have 65 carries in the NFL, Jordan Wilkins actually leads the NFL in that category at 6.4 yards per carry. Take out those two 50-yard runs, it's still almost 5 yards per carry. What do you like about Jordan Wilkins, Jake?
Oh, God, what's not to like him about? You know, I've gushed about him a lot, and it's a great problem to have because you have Marlon Mack as your starter, which unfortunately means you don't get to see Wilkins as much. But when he comes in to spell Mack as kind of the early down guy, not so much the passing guy, he looks so great. He's got balance. He's got great vision. He's not the most explosive guy, but he knows exactly where the hole is and where it looks like another one is developing. He's got the balance. He does not go down easily, and he's big enough to absorb hits. He's just got a great blend of pretty much everything. He's not an elite runner, but he's good and adequate at pretty much everything. He's also a good pass protector, which is, you know, an underrated value of running backs that not a lot of people always look at. But if the Colts had the misfortune of Marlon Mack going down, or let's say this injury keeps him out this week, Wilkins is more than capable of starting and carrying the load, you know, 20, 25 carries. You know, we saw that a little bit last year. But I'm not surprised at all that. Well, it is a little surprising considering his role that he's, you know, number one in the NFL in rushing average with at least 65 carries. But, you know, the type of runner he is, he's just so effective, you know?
Yeah, he really is. Like, I'd love to see more as far as running back by committee goes. And if he does get a bigger chance this Sunday against Atlanta, I'm going to be curious to see how he plays. But before we transition on here, Jake, to more of the skill position players, wide receivers, tight ends, I'd be remiss not to ask you about the running game so far. I think they're tied for second in the NFL in total rushing yards per game. Quinn Nelson, those guys up front are really doing a great job here. It seems like we're kind of seeing a new identity and all these guys on the team are loving it as far as run first goes.
Oh, absolutely. And I think when you can run the ball, I mean, don't take anything away from, and I know you're not, but I'm just saying in general, let's not take anything away from the Colts passing game. But when you can run the ball, that opens up everything. I think we see offenses become much more of a complete unit when they can at least run the ball. Because it opens up things in the passing game, and you know there's one less guy in the secondary because they're brought up into the box, things like that. And I think that could really unlock things for the Colts passing game, you know, especially a lot of these quick shots, the yard after catch opportunities. But no, when you can run the ball like the Colts are, you can really wear down just about any defense doing that. And you know, we've heard Frank Reich talked about, you know, dictating the pace of play and, you know, just kind of enforcing your will. And it's not always about, you know, rushing for 100, 150 yards a game, but it's being able to run the ball when you want to. And I think the Colts very much, especially last week, whether it was Jacoby or Marlon or Jordan Wilkins, anyone, they were able to run the ball when they wanted to, you know. And I think they are very much – I think the first two games, I think it's been very telling because they've established that last year wasn't a fluke, you know. They came out right out of the gate and said, you know, this is kind of who we are as an offense now. We're capable of just demolishing you up front.
Yeah, it's certainly I love this new identity because it kind of just goes to show like the commitment that Chris Bauer put into the offensive line over the last 18 months is really paying off right now with Quentin Nelson, Anthony Costanzo, Ryan Kelly. All five of those guys are doing an awesome job there. But As far as Atlanta goes, Jake, what's your opinion of Devontae Freeman? Because I feel like you were talking earlier about guys might be losing a step or two. I know it's a small sample size, but Devontae Freeman's only averaging 2.2 yards per carry, 19 carries for 41 yards so far. Kind of felt the second half of last season too. What should Colts fans know about Freeman? And do you think he might be a guy who might cause some issues on Sunday?
Yeah, I kind of had him in mind too when I was thinking of some of those guys who've maybe taken a step back. He is a very versatile guy, and I would not want to take him lightly by any means because I still think he's very capable of making plays. He's a good pass catcher as well. But, you know, he's basically like an every-down version of, you know, what we saw Nyheim Hines as a little bit. Not maybe not as high of a pass catcher as Hines, but just a smaller guy who's built enough to be able to run between the tackles. I don't think Freeman's quite as fast as he used to be. I think he was pretty fast in his earlier days. But he's just kind of squat and well-built. And he is hard to tackle for a little guy. You know, the just kind of weak arm tackles aren't going to work. So he is a guy where, you know, the Colts need to – you know, we saw them kind of struggle tackling running backs the first week. Derrick Henry is kind of a whole nother beast. But, you know, they can't take Freeman or Ito Smith lightly, even though they haven't been super productive as a tandem so far. They are capable of doing things, but I do think the Colts are very capable of bottling them up. Just they just haven't produced. And if the Colts allow them to kind of gash them, I think it may be a little more about what the Colts are not doing rather than what Atlanta is doing.
Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories and purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, to get started. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else quite like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. And don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and it's where you should too. I won't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't already the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON, L-O-C-K-E-D-O-N, to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON and visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet on the podcast, Jay, because it happened after the L.A. game. It came out, I believe, the next morning. But Devin Funchess went to injured reserve. He's going to be back maybe in November. I think that's what the projected time frame is, off injured reserve, 8-week time frame. How big of a loss is Funchess to this team? And I feel like this is the opportunity that a lot of people have been asking for as far as with Paris Campbell and Deion Kane. Obviously, they haven't gotten a lot of targets yet, but I feel like once the playbook opens up more for these guys, they're going to be getting a lot more involved.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And if last week is any indicator, then they'll be all right. Because, you know, Jacoby had 3 red zone touchdowns, and I think we all kind of knew Devin Funchess, that's where he was probably going to shine for the Colts. That does mean, you know, Deion is probably going to need to step up a little more. I don't know, just based off last week, I don't know quite what the plan is yet, you know, because I still think they're working Paris Campbell in, and, you know, if we're sitting here in June, we probably think Paris has a pretty big role. And then so 2-3 weeks from now, maybe he does, and he's volume-wise taking over as more of the second guy. You know, Deion had 2 catches in week 1, didn't really do much week 2. So I'm still trying to gauge what they're going to do, because we also know the run game is very heavy. And when that is the case, you get a lot of guys like Zach Pascal in there as well, because he's a very good run blocker. So that's – I'm still waiting to see what's going on with that. I just think, you know, snap-wise, yes, Deion Kane will probably be out there more, which obviously means more opportunity to, you know, run routes, catch passes, things like that. But I'm not I'm still waiting to see what's going to change. You know, we'll have to revisit that in a couple weeks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I definitely think the loss of punches is pretty big as far as the red zone goes, and I'll be really wondering how guys like Kane and Campbell will get more comfortable in this offense, how Frank Reich's going to use them. But let me ask you this, as far as the playmakers go on this team, it's even with the loss of bunches, Jake, there's still an abundance of guys that per second throw the ball to. You have Doyle, you have Ebron, Campbell, Kane, Hilton, who's having a great year so far, 3 touchdowns in 2 games. I feel like the weapons throw is endless for the Colts still.
Yeah, it's true. And I think people tend to see things in kind of a fantasy football perspective nowadays. And when you have an offense like the Colts, setting aside T.Y., who's clearly your, you know, top pass catcher, I don't think you can necessarily gauge the success of certain individuals based on their statistics, just because that ball has a lot of people to go around to. And as we now know, the run game is such a big emphasis. But, you know, I think we'll see, and it's kind of saw this last year, a lot of different, I think it was what, like 13 different guys caught touchdowns. I don't even think that counts the guys who ran for touchdowns. There's just so many mouths to feed on that offense. And something I've kind of said before is, you know, with everyone healthy and everyone kind of playing up to how they should, there really shouldn't be a game plan that this team can't put together. You know, they have a strong run game. They have a strong offensive line. They have a very diverse group of pass catchers, like you mentioned with the tight ends as well. Whatever they want to try and do against any defense they face, they should have a pretty decent shot of concocting any sort of game plan.
As far as the tight ends go, Jake, we're going to talk about Atlanta's playmakers here in just a second, but what's been your opinion of the tight end distribution so far? It kind of reverted back to where you were before Jack Doyle's injury last year, more of a 50-50 split between Ebron and Doyle. And also, I'm surprised, even though I really shouldn't be, with how he played during OTAs and training camp, but Mo Ali Cox actually getting a lot more snaps than we thought we would.
Yeah, and again, I think that comes back to a lot of the running as well, because, you know, we're kind of see them in some heavy packages and things like that. Even Jordan Wilkins' big run last week, all three tight ends were on the field for that one. And a lot of times, Ebron isn't always out there when it's time to block. But yeah, I think they'll still keep tinkering with ways to keep all three guys on the field. And I remember when Mo Alie-Cox was kind of first doing his damage last year, he talked about they know that teams really don't know what to do against him because he's such a good blocker. But at the same time, he's very athletic and has good hands and can do things in the passing game. And so they kind of have 2-3 guys who can do just about anything a tight end should be asked to do. Because I think Ebron's probably getting a little better as a blocker as well. So that adds to the diversity of the offense and kind of keeps defenses guessing because it you know, now they have three guys who could be out there for runs or passes at any time. And Mo and Ebron can stretch the field deep, you know, so that adds kind of an extra dimension to it.
Yeah, for sure. This tight end group is certainly up there as far as the NFL goes, and it's going to be fun to see them blossom and continue to blossom for the next couple of weeks. But let's go to the Atlanta side of things, Jake, and the playmakers they have over there, Julio, we have Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, Austin Hooper. Where would you put Atlanta as far as the most dangerous playmakers that we're going to see on the Colts schedule this year? I know Kansas City's up there with Mahomes and Tyreek Hill if he plays week 5, or even if Tyreek Hill doesn't play week 5. I feel like Atlanta is right up there with those guys as far as what the kind of offense they're going to see this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely among the top group that they'll see. Honestly, you know, just wide receivers, I think Atlanta's probably it. Julio Jones alone, you know, makes up an enormous group of that. But, you know, a lot of people are getting more familiar with Calvin Ridley. Very good route runner, very quick, sudden player, good hands. Mohamed Sanu doesn't always get enough praise either, though. Very good possession receiver. He's a technician. He's kind of like a poor man's Keenan Allen, if you look at it that way. I think he's been one of the more reliable possession guys in a long time. And Atlanta having the luxury of him kind of being the third option, that's really scary. Justin Hardy is capable of things at times as well. And then looking at tight end, both Austin Hooper and Luke Stocker can both block and catch. So it kind of gives, you know, kind of a little Colts flavor there where you can use multiple tight ends and you don't always know what they're doing. Because some teams, you know, they trot a tight end out there and it's like, okay, well, that guy's not going to run, you know, he's not going out for a catch. We know this is going to be a run play. So that kind of adds to the, you know, making defenses guess as well. So, you know, the Colts will definitely have to, you know, when they're in zone and things like that, they'll definitely have to stick to their keys and work on the fundamentals, just focusing on themselves and what, you know, doing their specific jobs when it comes to this pass catching group.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a tough matchup for this team because Atlanta, like you mentioned there, Jake, is going to be wrapped there as far as the playmakers we're going to see on the Colts schedule throughout this season. But let's go over now to the front seven. Let's start off with Atlanta here because I almost forgot this matchup's going to – we're going to see it maybe off or maybe not. They want to move him around and get him away from him. But Quentin Nelson versus Grady Jarrett on Sunday is going to be an absolute battle, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all looking forward to seeing that one. This is, you know, we've seen Quentin manhandle guys we never thought that we would see, at least as a rookie. And I think Grady Jarrett could give him a little bit of trouble. I'm not saying that Quentin doesn't have the upper hand and probably won't win the war. But Grady Jarrett is very quick, very sudden. And he's a guy where if you're not right there, if you don't take the right step at the right time, he could just be right there. I don't know if you saw it. I think it was, it was week one. He made a play where he tackled Dalvin Cook in the backfield, like right when Cook got the ball. Like the I think it was their center, never stood a chance. And so he's the type of guy that can do that. He is strong, but he, in my opinion, his strength is his just how he's able to move so quickly for a big guy like that. So that almost makes him more dangerous than a guy who just wins with strength, because the first thing is you have to make sure you can catch him first. So very much looking forward to that battle with Quentin, because that'll kind of show another dimension to Quentin's game too. I think once he gets his hands on anyone, he easily, you know, we can win that. But Quentin's going to have some pretty quick movement and pretty quick feet in this one too.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to follow along with. And I think another playmaker on Atlanta side we should talk about for a second, Jake, is Deion Jones, who I think if you're not familiar with Darius Leonard, if you're an NFL fan that's listening to this podcast, I feel like if there's a comparison out there for a guy like Darius Leonard and like as far as body type goes and just speed, I feel like Deion Jones is almost a clone of Darius Leonard from that sense.
Yeah, I think when you look at Deion Jones is their mic, but when you look at kind of what you would want that mic or will to look like in this type of defense, I think Deion Jones is a great prototype for it. Very fast guy. He comes from kind of that lineage of those really athletic, high-level LSU linebackers. And I've seen him make a couple plays already this year. So Colts fans will, once they see Deion Jones play, it'll be very familiar to them because he is kind of that, you know, Darius Leonard and maybe not as much Anthony Walker, but maybe what we saw EJ Speed do as well. Because I hold, you know, high regard. It was crazy how much he was everywhere last year. But no, Deion Jones, great player. I think he's going to be very familiar. He fits a defense like Atlanta's or the Colts, just like a glove. Kind of long, a little narrow, but very fast, sure tackler, and kind of carries a pop to him when he does hit you.
From the Colts side of things, Jake, if Darius Leonard doesn't go on Sunday, I think we're going to know a lot more in the next 24 hours here because he hasn't practiced all week in the concussion protocol. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, it probably means he's going to be out on Sunday. What's that loss mean for this Colts defense?
It's absolutely a big loss because, you know, Darius, I think we all know, is kind of the heartbeat of the defense. He's that lively leader. If he can't play, you know, he's still going to be on the sideline kind of hyping everybody up still. But it will give us a chance to see, you know, maybe it's Bobby Okereke in his spot, for example. Bobby Okereke coming in, a lot of people said, you know, wow, he's kind of exactly a clone of Darius Leonard. So we'll get to see if that's the case. Bobby has played quite a few snaps already in the first couple games. Not starting snaps, but, you know, supplemental snaps here and there. So I don't think it's going to be some big foreign thing to him if it is Okereke, if Leonard misses the game. But no, they'll be missing someone who is very smart in the box and who kind of has a diverse game to him, because we know Darius can do things like cover receivers out of the slot and things like that. He can do things that not all linebackers can do. So I would imagine the defense will have to be a bit more traditional, because I do think they trust everyone on the roster. It's why they're on the 53-man roster. But at the same time, having an exceptional talent like Darius kind of allows you to do a lot of different things because he is special. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. It's definitely not an advantage to not have him out there.
Yeah, it would certainly be a big loss on Sunday if Leonard can't go. And like I mentioned, we'll probably find out a lot more by Friday evening as far as if Leonard's going to play on Sunday or not. But before we transition over to the back end of the defenses here, Jake, I think another player we should hit on as far as the Colts side things goes, Kamoka Ture, who before he was sent out last Sunday, he had two sacks and one taken away by a offsides on Justin Houston on that play that led to an Austin Eckler touchdown eventually on the next play. I feel like another player we were talking about as far as the leak goes, Marlon Mack, on the offensive side of the ball. But Kamoka Ture, if he plays like he did week one throughout the season, Jake, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with here soon.
Oh, absolutely. The role he has been in, he looks so good now. He looks like he fits that like a glove. Just kind of that rotational designated pass rusher. He's got more bend than anyone on the team. He's got so much speed and quickness and athleticism coming around the edge. You know, I don't care how good your tackle is. If you've got a guy that can bend and get that low, then it's just simply hard to reach him and get your hands on him. And Ture really made it look easy in week one. You know what I mean? Like he was really harassing Rivers, and he did it just in a rotational role. Imagine if he had like 40 snaps or something, you know, if you just had him out there constantly, just going at the quarterback and making life difficult for that tackle. I think you're exactly right. I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he is going to have numbers that surprise a lot of people this year.
Guys, have a chat real quick. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever opportunity arises. Again, that's BlueChew.com for all your information. Going to the back end here, Jake, and we should start the Colts here for a second, because I feel like this player is really gaining steam right now, and he could be a starter here next month or so. What's been your impression of Kari Willis through the first 2 weeks?
Very pleasantly surprised. I think he always obviously had smarts when you watched him on tape at Michigan State. Very, very aware player. He knew everything that was going on. Probably not the uber athlete that you're looking at with a guy like Malik Hooker. So I just kind of expected, you know, just your traditional strong safety type of stuff. But something that really gets me excited about safeties is their closing speed and willingness to go after ball carriers. And I just think there was a couple times where we saw Willis like he was shot out of a cannon going after the guy with the ball, especially last week. So I'm very pleasantly surprised there. He showed the kind of the awareness and ability to diagnose where the ball is going, just like tape showed. But you just don't expect it quite right away in the NFL. But I mean, he was kind of known for his maturity, leadership, his smarts, just overall having a good head on his shoulders. So at the same time, we probably shouldn't be surprised that he already seems to have mentally absorbed a good portion of the NFL game. But no, I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep giving him more and more snaps, because he's earning it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely, alongside Rocky Asin, the other rookie who's really played well so far on this Colts secondary, Another player we should hit on as far as the main feature of the Colts defensive backs are right now, Jake, and that's Malik Hooker, who had an amazing interception week one, one of the best I've ever seen in person. And you just see it all over the highlight reels for the next 48, 72 hours. What's been your impressions of Malik Hooker so far? As he feels like he's really taken the mantle as far as ball-hawking corners, ball-hawking safeties in the NFL. He's right up there in the top three, top five.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is back, right? I think he got more and more comfortable post-injury as last year went on. But I think when you make a play like he did week one, that just has to build your confidence so much, right? Like, he probably thinks he is, you know, back to vintage Ohio State Malik Hooker now. But the fact is he's playing more and more football, and now he's playing more and more NFL football because he didn't get to play a lot of Ohio State till that last year. I think he's taking his game to a whole nother level. You know, we're seeing the range. As Philip Rivers said, he's like, I'll throw that ball. There's no way he's getting to it. And he did with one hand too. And it wasn't even a bobble either. It was like his hand was glue. And just his range and his ability to cover that back half of the secondary. Last week, he nearly had another interception. And if he maybe lays out for it or goes for two hands, he probably has another interception. But I think this matchup specifically will be a good one for him because, I mean, Matt Ryan is a smart quarterback. He knows what he has in Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. He's going to take shots. And anytime I see matchups against receiving corps where they're going to take obvious shots downfield, I kind of always mentally circle Malik Hooker's name because he's going to be back there and he can get to the ball a lot faster than quarterbacks anticipate. So I think this will definitely – I think he will play a pretty decent role in this one.
Yeah, he could be the big X factor as far as the Colts defense go on Sunday. If they keep testing him, I think Hooker's eventually going to get one there. But on the Atlanta side of things, Jake, before you go on your three keys to the game, your prediction, what should Colts fans know about some two key Falcons defensive backs? Desmond Trufant is probably going to be on T.Y. Hilton, and then Ricardo Allen, who's a former Purdue Boilermaker, and a player who's really coming on lately.
Yeah, Trufant is one of the – I think he's one of the better cornerbacks that people tend to not talk about. In my opinion, cornerback is one of those groups where the cream of the crop around the league changes every couple of years. It's kind of a really fluid position. But in my opinion, he's been in that top 10 pretty steadily for several years now, since probably his first or second year in the league. Just a real steady guy. I think he's got great ball skills. He had a couple picks last week. But he's great coverage skills. He's got good hips, so he changes direction pretty quickly with receivers. So he'll kind of stay locked under their hip pocket. But I like the way he's not afraid to go after balls. You know, if something maybe looks out of reach, he's going for it still. And to me, that's a show of confidence. And then Ricardo Allen, kind of small, compact guy. But he plays above his size. I think he's, you know, not afraid to come up and lay a hit on you. I think he showed a little more diversity in his game last year when Keanu Neal went down. I think he's got some well-balanced ability to play the run and the pass. But kind of as their free safety, he does have those abilities too. He has range. He can cover those back areas of the field. And again, he has the ball skills. So. They have a pretty dangerous secondary as well, kind of similar to how we feel about the Colts secondary. They're very well balanced. They've got guys who can cover just about any type of pass catcher, tight end receiver. So, you know, I expect those guys to show up and make plays. People around here who maybe don't remember Ricardo Allen from Purdue will probably start remembering him this week. Just because of the type of player he is, but he's kind of an underappreciated guy too. I do think just quietly people started to talk about him the last couple years, but no, he's a very underrated player. But you know, around here maybe he'll start to be appreciated a little more being a Purdue guy.
Moving on here, Jake, to your three keys to the game. After we went through position by position here, it certainly feels like there's a lot of even matches across the board here. What would you say are the biggest three components to a Colts win on Sunday?
So some things I've been kind of focusing on, it kind of hinges on Marlon Mack's availability and just because he's their best running back. But I think the Colts are more than capable of doing to Atlanta what Minnesota did to Atlanta in week one with Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison just kind of gashed Atlanta all day. And to the point where Kirk Cousins only threw 10 passes, which is kind of wild. So I think the Colts could probably follow that formula because they have the offensive line and the runners to do it. I think Minnesota especially succeeded on the outside. You know, Dalvin Cook is a burner. He can, you know, if he turns that corner, he's gone. And the Colts have that speed at running back as well. So I definitely want to see them try to establish the run. You know, kind of a generic thing that people say, but especially in this matchup, I think that will very much be key. I think also just kind of, you know, playing their brand on in the front seven, especially on the defensive line, because if there's one thing, or not one thing, if there's something Atlanta has been susceptible to so far in the first couple games, it's giving up sacks and turning the ball over. I think they've given up the second most turnovers so far. The Colts only have a couple takeaways, but, you know, just judging from last year and how many of the same components they still have, those turnovers are going to come for the Colts. So I just think playing their brand of football, fast, opportunistic, don't try and be a hero. Just be in the right place at the right time, you know, by just kind of doing your job. I think that will help get the turnovers, but especially if the pass rush is clicking like it has been those first couple weeks, I think that will also lead to forced fumbles because they're also taught to not only sack the quarterback, but to get that ball out of their hands. You know, it's not over once you make contact with the quarterback. You better get the ball out, and I think they really want to do that. I think they can take advantage of that with Atlanta, so that's something I would definitely focus on. But then I would also get the tight ends involved. That might be my third key. You know, you might say try and stop Julio Jones and so on, but I just that's an obvious attempt at a game plan, but I don't know that you can just go out and stop Julio Jones. So I'd like to see the Colts tight ends get involved a little more as my third key. I think we know just judging from last year that this is arguably still the best tight end group in the NFL. They led the whole league in touchdowns last year. I think it was 22. We haven't seen them super involved quite yet. Just kind of two or three targets here or there. But I would like to see that breakout game from the tight ends, especially Jack Doyle. I think he's got three receptions so far. When we saw him play with Jacoby in 2017, he appeared to be Jacoby's security blanket. So I think that tight end breakout game is coming. Let's see if it comes on Sunday. I think it very well might.
Yeah, those are some awesome breakdowns there, Jake, as far as the three keys go. And I think I'm right there with you on a lot of them. I think it's going to be a really tight contested game. My prediction for this game, Jake, is 24-20 Colts. I think time of possession is going to be really key here. If they can do like the Minnesota formula like they showed week one against Atlanta, it's going to be a long day for the Falcons defense. So I'm going 24-20 there. What's your prediction for Sunday, Jake?
That's exactly what I was thinking was 24-20. I don't think you're going to – unless everything is breaking right for you, I don't think you're going to completely stop Atlanta from getting yards or points. But I think 24-20 is pretty reasonable. It's realistic that Atlanta's probably going to get theirs a little bit. But I just think the Colts offense, I think the Colts offense has a little bit of an advantage over their defense, just with how diverse they can be and some things that we haven't seen them unlock yet. Again, the tight ends, we haven't really seen that unlocked. We haven't really seen Paris Campbell or Deion Kane unleashed. So they've been a successful offense so far, and there's still things we haven't seen them do. So, 24-20 was the exact score I was thinking as well.
Well, great minds think alike there, Jake. If you want to go ahead and follow Jake on Twitter, go ahead and do so if you haven't already. Jake Arthur NFL. Digest all this content on Colts.com like I do as well. And we're looking forward again to talking to you next week, Jake, as hopefully the Colts are back to 2-1 on the season.
Yes, sir. Getting over 500. Fingers crossed.